Worthy is the Lamb.
Worthy is the Lamb.
He is worthy.
Worthy is the Lamb. We are holy.
God is here. He is mightily present. He has something for everybody. It's amazing that we worship him here on earth, and he's with us. We are not separated from him. He's in our midst. He's in us, in our hearts. He has something very special to tell you. Amazingly, he wants to tell you that don't believe the lies, not only about God, but about your nation, you know. Yesterday, he said something very special, you know. It is United and stopped. United States of America, United. The media is telling you something different. They're telling you divided, white and black, you know, Asian American. No, United. The church is divided because everybody wants to follow his own heart desire. But the holy God, the mighty God, you know what? He is doing it his way. He has something for you today. I don't know why it's me. He is worthy. I'm not worthy, you know. But maybe he has chosen me as a vessel just to speak to you, you know. Yes. Hallelujah. Praise God, you know. We are here because of Jesus. We are here because he done it. It's already done. It's finished. We are here because he want to finish the race with you so you can receive the crown of glory. I don't know how many of you really they are on the race. Some of us, we think that we are with you, Jesus. We think, we say. But when you look around, you don't see anybody there. You know? Either you are first, or maybe everybody is before you. You know, the Lord has something for you. Are you willing to receive? Start with United. We are united in Christ. We are members of his body. He has chosen us, and we've decided to go with him. We don't live no more, hallelujah, but Christ lives in us, right? I love it, you know. The worship was so great. I went there, you know, because I wanted to see, you know, what the Spirit is doing. I did not see much. I just saw a few rays of light touching some of you. You see, and I closed my eyes. I wanted to see with the other eye, you know. And it's amazing, you know, that the place is filled with golden rays of light. Golden light. I do believe that every one of you knows, we know what, you know, golden rays of light, which means the light of his glory, you know. And this, he's repeating the same pattern, what happened in Virginia. We were there, and the Lord literally, like, he just pushed his finger down like that. He's making holes in something. And I want you to imagine rays of light began just to penetrate, you know, all these holes, touching people and doing things immediately, not now and then. I want you to imagine, hallelujah, can I continue, right? I want you to imagine that the Lord is doing things live. And I like it, you know, because he's always doing things live, you know. So I was seeing some visions and about people. They were doing some kind of evil things home, drugs. And I don't recognize the place. I know the town, but I don't know this corner. But the people in the prayer team, you know, they know them. You know, they know their town like you know your places. And then I see something coming upon them. And then these people leaving the place, carrying something, and coming. And you know what? They came to our prayer gathering. Hallelujah. Do you believe that your God could be alive? And they came to the church, and I would love to let Pastor Adam, you know, confirm to you, Pastor, you know, what happened. And they brought their drugs there. I said, we are addicts. Help us. Pray for us. Hallelujah. I don't know, you know, I knew the pastor that's for the first time there, you know. But your Jesus is alive. Hallelujah. I believe this is the beginning. So let me just give everything to the Lord. You know, I have printed a few things. Normally we don't need them because the Spirit is the author, you know. I am only the writer. Father, somehow we just like children, we just jumped and began saying things, Lord. But we believe that you want to feed your children today. You don't want to give them milk, Lord, I know. You have something special for them, Lord. We gathered here because of Jesus and what he did on the cross. We gathered here because we are expectant, Lord. We gathered here because you also told us when two or three are gathered in my name, there I will be in their midst, Lord. I ask you, Lord, to literally, you know, let me just forget about anything that I have written. I want just to speak to your people, words of life. Touch their hearts. Pierce their heart if necessary, Lord. Let them feel your fire, Lord. Let them feel your presence. Yes, you are mightily present here, Lord, not because of my word, but because of the work of your Holy Spirit, Lord. I want just to surrender everything to you, Lord, and ask you to guide me step by step. There are people here, they need literally you, Lord. They need you in a special way, Lord. Sometimes maybe we need somebody to tap on our shoulders to remind us that we are going to the wrong direction. Some people, they need you desperately, Lord, because they are praying for their loved ones, but nothing is happening, Lord. You know, people are crying to you, Lord, because of physical sickness, but nothing happening, Lord. I ask you, Lord Jesus, today, Lord. He said, call on the name of the Lord, you know. We call on you. Your name, Lord, and we believe that you are here, Lord. Just touch your people. Speak to them, Lord, with my simple words. In Jesus' name, amen. Like this? Good. Thank you, Pastor. Thank you so much. I thank the Lord for our pastor, you know, that we could be together today. See, we were driving yesterday for 6 long hours from Tennessee. We tried to make it here, but we couldn't because of the children. But the Lord also did something there. Thank you, Pastor, that you have given me the microphone, the place to speak, you know. I thank my Lord Jesus Christ for people like you, you know. I don't see you here on earth. I told the pastor the other day, we are seated with Christ in the heavenlies. That's what I see. If you want to see yourself like this, then you will literally sense his glory. If you want to think that you are still on earth because of your burdens, troubles, then you need to turn around and say, well, Lord, I just give you everything you told me to come to you if I have burdens and worries. How could I pray? You know, the Bible tells me, be perfect, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace shall be with you. Do we have one mind? Be of good comfort, are we? Do we have peace? Well, somebody told me, peace? Look the world over. It's your God making that. I told him, no. My God, he is the Prince of Peace. So war is made by man, right? It's not my Lord. You see, I just quoted from 2 Corinthians, you know, 13:11. I added simultaneously today before I came here, Pastor. I believe there is something that the Bible tells us that we don't get it. I love this word when he tells us, oh, you tell me you love God that you don't see, but you don't love your brother that you see. So I ask you now, because that's maybe the reason why I could not see with my normal eyes. We did not have enough you know, golden rays, you know, touching many people. Do you have anything in your heart that could keep, you know, the glory of the Lord, you know, from literally touching and shaking you tonight? Please, if you have anything against anybody right now, your enemy, just try to literally say, Lord, I forgive and I love. Somebody here in the church, you know, if you have a problem because he just took your seat. So, well, I used to sit here and he just came and took my place. Well, it happens, you know that? And I always tell them, in reality, Jesus took my place, you know. See, so you don't need to bother about that, you know. Or maybe your parking place, you know that? So please, the first thing that the Lord wants you to be, as a, be perfect. Perfection means that we love as he loved. Right? Can you do it? Sometimes it's good to confess our sins to one another. Well, brother, I just stole your money, you know. We do it. We have to confess it. Because if you don't confess, the Lord cannot work. There's something separating you from him. You see, if a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has seen? I'm reading it from the first epistle of John 4:20. So, do you love your brother? Yes? Nobody's answering. Do you love your brother? Oh, well, what about your enemies? Do you love your enemies? You see, this is where the Spirit starts working, you know. Conviction of the Spirit. He must bring you back to Christ. Jesus loved his enemies. That's why he died. I was his enemy, and he died for me. It's difficult to understand, but, well, he did it, you know. So are you willing to die to self and love your enemies? To let literally Christ work through you. If you don't let him, then there is something, you know. I am convinced, you know, that the mystery of God will be understood when the mystery of man is understood. And the mystery of man is to love your enemies on earth so they will be your brothers and sisters in heaven. This going to energize literally the Spirit, and trust me, the Spirit going to jump on you. I don't know how many of you felt the Spirit jumping on him or her. Some people, they think, no, he is so tender. He is coming, you know, whispering to us. Right. But trust me, he is the Spirit of fire. He's going to appear in the midst of God's people, right? And be Lord. And his eyes, you know, and you know his mouth. Fire, right? Because that's your God. He's fire. So if you don't sense the Spirit jumping on your back, so you have to search your heart, because this is the door for him to come in. When you forgive your enemies and love them as he loved you. And when you love your brothers and sisters in the church as they are. Pastor asked me, you know, what the Lord, he said, what the Lord puts on your heart, you know, just say. Well, the Lord is taking me somewhere else, you know. We forget that we have a kingdom. I want you to imagine there's a kingdom and there's a king, and every kingdom has rules, right? Okay. Do you really live in the kingdom of God or earth? Following the rules of the kingdom or not? Because this is how the rules of the kingdom are going to change your life. And the rules of the kingdom, they are very simple, you know. Just go raise up the dead, you know. Isn't that simple, Pastor? It's simple because it's not you, but the one who is in you is the one who is working. So if you are dead to self and alive for Christ, then Christ is going to do these miracles. Well, brother, we did not see miracles, you know, in our church since maybe 20 years ago. Well, so where is the God of miracles? Miracles and wonders are daily things in the kingdom of heaven. God is always at work, right? If he's always at work, you have to see where he's at work. If you see a dead man jumping, so you know God is here. That's how people realize, well, Jesus was talking to the dead. And they were mocking him. So what? Hey, Lazarus stinking, what are you doing? But you know what? The dead man heard him and came out. and became a witness of Jesus Christ. So if you live in the kingdom, but you don't follow the rules of the kingdom, so you are disobedient to the king. So why should the king show himself through you to other people? He wants you to repent. He said, well, Father, I really love my neighbor, but not my enemy. You know, why should I love North Korea? They want to destroy us. You know, they want to, yes. But you know what? Let me tell you from true story. The love of Christ through you can change your enemies. Suddenly, the Holy Spirit, he has extra work. Oh, he's loving his enemy. I have to convict that man of sin by all means. Sometimes he will do it literally by all means. I know one person, he slapped me, he spat in my face, and I did not do anything. And the Holy Spirit was digging on his brain for the next, 3 months. Every day he reminded him of the same scene and asking him, literally smiling, why he did not respond. Do you know why? Why he did not respond? And this man, he was a Turk. He went mad day and night hearing the voice of the Lord talking to him. And he made the mistake. He said, no, why? Hallelujah. That was good. Because when we say no, why, then he will get an answer. And the answer was very good. Just the Lord, the Spirit showed him Christ on the cross. Because of him. He died for you and for him. And this man, he has Christ in his heart. He loves you, though you slapped him on his face and spat in his face. And this man, he went to the church and he was asking something, And I made him a reality 3.5 years later in a conference in Zurich in Switzerland. And somebody came around to me, brother, I did not recognize him, but he recognized me. And then he told me his story. So are you going to love your enemies? Are you going to follow the rules of the kingdom? If you have a king, he's a ruler. He's not only savior. And a ruler, he wants you to follow the rules. You cannot fulfill them, but his spirit can help you by that. So let me just jump now to what I told the pastor in the beginning. The Lord burdened me to take you somewhere back to my grandfather, Abraham. He comes from my country, from Iraq, and he had many encounters with God. The encounters with God, they are very, very special. And just like that, hey, Abraham, just leave everything and go to a place I will show you. You see, sometimes we don't understand when God talks to us. He speaks very simple language. We can understand it, our language. But we don't get it because we have some complicated, theories about God. We forget that he is a father. Yes. He's a ruler. Yes. But you are a princess. He's a prince. So we should know the rules. And the first rule is when God, talks to you, he speaks to you, obey. It's very simple, that? The good thing that our children never obey, No matter how long you try with them to try to teach them, they're always rebel, right? They are good, very good children until. And then something happened, they were screaming, pulling the hairs off each other, But Abraham, he obeyed. He had an encounter with God. And the good thing that Abraham did not forget that. I hope that you will put the verses so they can read them, I am reading from, hallelujah, praise God. And hallelujah has a story. The pastor maybe knows something. We'll talk about it later. You see, and the Lord appeared unto Abraham. And Abraham, which means father of few sons, let us say. He's nearly nobody, just 2-3 sons, let us say. He had nobody anyway at that time. Unto thy seed will I give this land. And there built he an altar unto the Lord and appeared. I am glad that the Holy Spirit filled this place with his presence. We're worshiping him and he is worthy to be worshipped. And when he built an altar, let us understand, an altar is not only the, heathen, the pagan people that were doing it, See, the God's people, the chosen people, starting with Abraham, they began building this because they understood in their simplicity what does that mean. When God appears to you, it means, how could he come if heaven is not open? So the gates to heaven were open. God came to him. So he noticed, oh, this is a holy ground. I'm going to encounter God maybe again here. And then he built an altar, and he called Yahweh. This is a place belong to him, not to me. And when it's his, then he must take care of it. Do you have an altar in your house? Are you calling every day the name of the Lord? Because when you call his name, heaven is open. When you call his name, he is doing, because he is Yahweh. He is Jesus. And Jesus is always alive, right? He's always here around you. I never leave you nor forsake you. Well, Lord, when I was in trouble, I did not see you. Yes, son. You know it. We have many pictures, you know, like Jesus carrying somebody and walking, you know, on the beach so you can see the footsteps only from Jesus, not from the other one. Because he was carrying you on his shoulder. That's why you don't see your footsteps. So he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Please do this everywhere you go, because when you call on the name of the Lord, then you have an open heaven. God is, when you declare him, he is here. The Israelites, they were so frightened, they didn't want to call on the name of the Lord. And I'm glad they called him just only Hashem, and Hashem is my father. I mean, literally, my father's name is Hashem. This means the name. And they were calling God Hashem, only the name. They could, can you call on the name of the Lord every day? Then look around, because something will happen. Always. I have never called on the name of the Lord and nothing happened. And I have two sisters here. They were here with me a few days ago. And we encountered one lady, and something happened. She had a terrible story, and she literally left God away. She's no more with him because her children died and her life was ruined. And I just asked, I always ask, oh, thank you very much. You know, you blessed us, and thank you for the food. And God bless your hands. And she tried to avoid us. But we united and we prayed and we asked the Lord, you know, literally. So I said, do you have 1 minute? And she came, and I just told her a few things. And you know what? I believe, you know, the sister, they said the Lord pierced her heart and she came back to the Lord. It's only the calling on the name of the Lord. And this is for you. God is the same everywhere. He's at work in your country. He's doing wonderful things here. You know, the media, you know, I don't care about it. You know, the Amish people, one of those ladies, they were asked, why did you not have, you know, COVID? He said, oh, because we did not have television. And that's true. Because the media, they were just poisoning our brain, you know, about all this COVID matter and so on. You know? And these people, they did not have it. So they did not know anything about it. So this lady, I said, you know, she came back to the Lord. It is great that the Lord can, you just, you know, call on his name and he's doing something. And I always try to keep God busy, you know. You need to. If you don't keep God busy, so why is he? He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I try to get rid of him somehow. I say always I'm like a chewing gum in his hair, you know that? It's not easy to get rid of, you know. So try to do that. When you build an altar, no, it is a stairway to heaven, the God of heaven on earth. He's here with me on earth. And everywhere I go, his eyes is watching me, right? Okay, because he is the ruler. And the ruler, he has rules. And these rules we should keep. Do you think if you don't keep the rule, nothing will happen to you? Try to drive, you know, like me. Oh, sorry, 100 miles an hour. And then you see that the ruler is here. Suddenly you have somebody driving behind you, you know. He said, sir, do you have a driving license? And you tell him, no, because you forgot it home. This is breaking another rule, you know that? He said, all right, sir, so would you please just come out, you know. And they will handcuff you and take you to the ruler. And the Heavenly Father will look at you. Daughter, didn't I tell you to keep the rules? Abraham was keeping the rules. And I love that, you know. You need to keep the rules, not by your power. Otherwise, you would be like any other religion on earth, you know. Keep the rule and you will go to heaven. Never. If you keep rules, you don't go to heaven. If you just surrender to the Lord and let His Holy Spirit guide you, and He will help you to keep the rules. Jesus did not break the law. He fell for the law. And you know what? The Spirit of Christ is in you. And you know what you want to do? Everything. But we always try to take a shortcut. Lord, take me anywhere you want. And the moment He starts, you try just to go. I think there is shorter, you know. And you wonder why you don't reach your destination. Because you are keeping the Lord busy, just try to somehow convince you that He is Lord and He is the way. And He doesn't need anything. So the first thing happened to Abraham is, or Abraham, that he responded to the call of God when it appeared to him. So please, when you see the Lord is at work around you, respond. Because if you don't respond, then He will try to knock again on your door. And trust me, sometimes He can use other ways, you know. So don't wonder, you know, if the roof just fallen down just to wake you up that you need Him. Respond to the Lord when He's calling. Everyone would tell me, brother, you know, we've been studying the Bible, we've been going to church regularly, you know. We always respond to God. But just try to one week, go back, we can check, you know, how many times did you avoid God or His ways? You will be surprised how many times. Well, I saw the neighbor, but, I had trouble with her. I could not greet her. So I turned around, right? In the Orient, if you turn around, you know what will happen? They will come and they will beat you because it's insulting. We don't have it in our culture here. But there, if you see your neighbor, you don't greet them. Even if they are your enemies, then you are insulting them if you turn around. Or if somebody gives you a hand and you don't shake it, then it is worse than murder. We don't know the rules of the king. We forget them sometimes. Try to remember that. Respond when the Lord is calling you. Can we get the second verse, please? And you see what happened here. It's not only responding to the Lord, but something you have to do. He did something. He responded. But then he separated himself. And he removed from thence onto mountain on the east of Beth El and pitched his tent, having Beth El on the west, and I on the east, and there he builded an altar unto the Lord, and listen, and called upon the name of Yahweh again. Now we are going higher. You have, you know, when I saw the pastor first, I tried to be formal. It was the first time. Second time you hug, and in Iraq, of course, we kiss, we give holy kiss, you know that? But my point is, you see, the first time when you go to school, you know, you see the teacher, you are trying to be in the corner, not to. But then, and see, he again built an altar. This is different kind of altar. It's an altar. This encounter helped him to separate. He is no more that man who belongs to the Chaldean and then at that time, the land of the Chaldean, my country, Iraq. No, he is no more. Now he is somehow belonging to El. That's why he has built this Beth El. This is where El was. You know, he just came and we built a place for him. And then because he is holy, I am changed, I cannot go with everybody. So I separate, you know, I go somewhere else. And this is what the Lord wants you to. You can go to any church you want, doesn't matter, even if they have wrong doctrine. But you know what will happen? You will be the light there. And you're going to change that place. I was surprised when I was going, you know, to service, because we just distribute bread, you know that? That's what we do. You know, we take from Jesus and give to people. This is our ministry, literally. Bread, of course, of life. So, and that's what will happen. When you see people, you don't fit there. You are a stranger in this world. So you go somewhere else. And there you start your rituals, calling on the name of the Lord. And trust me, the more you call on the name of the Lord, something will happen. Can you imagine little Samuel, our son, he said, Daddy! And of course, you know what will happen? I don't care what I have. I just drop it and run to him. And God does the same. When did you call on the name of the Lord and ask him for something and he did not respond? Trust me, every time he responds. It's written in the book of life. Everything later he will show you. Here you called me and I did not come immediately, only after 50 years, you know. Yes, you would see it. He did not respond then, because if he had given you the secret of heaven at that moment, you would have died. Your brain would have blown up. So he had to prepare you for the next revelation. And the next revelation even worse, you know, for, you know, Abraham, you know. He had to not only respond and separate, but had to relocate. Now he's separating even from Lot. No more there, you know. He's his nephew, you know. He brought his father and Lot with him. That was a mistake, because God told him to leave his family and go away. We think sometimes Abraham was perfect from the very beginning. No? He was, but because of cultural matters, you cannot leave your father behind you. So he had to take him with him. But that cost him 23 long years to stay, you know, in Haran, you know, until his father died, and then he could go to the promised land. So please, when the Lord is telling you something and you separate, after responding, you have to obey. Otherwise, you will lose, maybe like Abraham, only 23 years. Yeah, because later God added those years, you know, to Abraham. You know what he did later, you know? He let him even live more than 120 years as a promise. And he let him even get married when he was 126. And he got 6 sons, you know, and many daughters. Do you know that? So please, when the Lord is telling you something, just respond accordingly. Because these are the ways we start to get to know Jesus. Many of us, we think that we know Jesus. But can you imagine if he appears now? What will happen? I want a Christian answer, a biblical answer. What will happen if Jesus appears now? Hallelujah. That's biblical. He will not, he will just pick us up there, you know that? And this is the good thing. See, biblical. So you have to know that. And how do you know it? Because he knows the ruler and he knows the rules. And he's trying by all means to keep these rules by the power of the Holy Spirit. And now and then we stumble. Yeah, the other day I had to drive 190 miles an hour. I have to confess my sins to the congregation so they can pray for me. Why? Because we had a trucker, you know, on our right and a trucker behind us, and we had no way. And he's flying. If I don't drive, you know, faster, he will hit me. So I had to drive 90. And I said, "Well, Lord, you should have translated me, you know, somewhere else." I would have been immediately here in North Carolina. But that's God. He does it, you know. This is his ways. Are you willing to literally relocate and leave family and friends? We'll talk maybe tomorrow about that, especially when the Lord is going to show us, you know, how his glory is working right now in some of you people. I might say in some things that it seems maybe strange, seems maybe not very holy, but trust me, the Holy One, he gave me these words. You know, I am just going out of script, as we say, for a reason, for a purpose, because he knows some hearts that they need it. You see, I wish that one of you will get maybe 23 years, you know, like Abraham, you know, added to his life so he could avoid some troubles, or maybe he will get married again, you know, after his loved one departed. Yes, I know one brother, he got married, you know when? He was 82. And I was thinking that I was special. I married when I was, well, shall we say it, Pastor? Hallelujah. You see that? These are the ways of the Lord, you know? I was married to the mission, you know? I'm not thinking of family, but the Lord was thinking of that, because he told us to go and multiply, you know? And you don't want to get married, and the Lord just pushing you, this beautiful lady in front of you, said, "No, you know, you don't want it, because you want this going to keep you away from the ways of the Lord." See? And then I said yes, and he gave her to me in my 60th birthday, you know. 6-0, I got married. Isn't this wonderful? Hallelujah to the Lord. It's not me, it's Jesus, my Lord, you know. So we are going step by step with the Lord. And I want you please to take this literally. Try to go home and try to think about these things. And try to see, well, Lord, this man came from Iraq here to tell us about some Oriental rules, you know. I'm not talking about Jesus rules. They are all Oriental. Don't forget, he lived in the Orient. It's not here. We don't have American rules. Only Oriental rules in the Bible, you know that. But then, when we come to our point, and then the Lord will challenge you. You are faithful. You are keeping his commandment. You are loving your enemies. You are coming to church. You are studying Bible. You are going on the street every day, you know, reaching out to people. Because you know they will be going to hell if you don't go to them. They will be in the eternal night. You know, there is eternal night. Like eternity with the Lord in the light, there is eternal night. And the Lord is digging on your brain, you know, and said, well, I've been talking to him for the last 30 years. He doesn't care, you know. He's just a drinking. And but you have to go to him. You need to. Because he is your responsibility. Just think about it, you know. Are you going to people that you don't like, you hate? You know, we work in Iraq. In Iraq, which means literally you are living in the midst of your enemies. Every Muslim, he would love to kill me because I am an apostate. I left Islam. And according to Islam, they have the right to kill me. But I go to them and tell them, you know, that they can kill me, but I don't die. And this shocks them. And they want to, what do you mean you don't die? And then I try to explain to them. And it's difficult. But you know what? The Holy Spirit always succeeded. He's always successful. I mean, the Holy Spirit always succeeded to convict them of sin and to bring them to faith. Sometimes it took longer, sometimes shorter. So please, this is for you. When you are called by the Lord, when he encountered you, he's bringing you every day from glory to glory. Don't think that you are not worthy, you are. Because when Jesus, when the King of heaven and earth is coming to you and knocking on your door and you open, do you think that you are not worthy? I don't know. If you do think you are not worthy, then the enemy will be very happy. You are worthy. And I'm glad, as I said, you know, I came from Iraq and to meet this lady, and she had a beautiful name here, you know. This is how I noticed, and that's why we prayed for her, you know, that she had a name, and the name is means like she's generous or like a princess. That was her name. And I told her, nomino est omino. The name is the omen. You know? And then I'm glad that she came back to the Lord. You know? But then a challenge, you know, when you walk with Jesus, you do everything. Everything is perfect. Yes, we don't see miracles and wonders every day, but you see a reality because they are happening. You know, when somebody saved in Virginia, it is miracles and wonders on earth. You don't need only to see with your eyes. Blessed are those who don't see, right, and believe, not like Thomas, right? So you need to, and the Lord is coming to you and telling you, this is a challenge. This challenge for you, for me. All right, Abraham, now your name is Abraham. Wonderful, we gave you a son. He's beautiful, he's growing. His brother is causing him a trouble, Isaac, you know, Ishmael, but no problem. Now, Isaac, he will be the heir for everything, and of course, children will be filling all the earth. You are Abraham's children by adoption. Wonderful. But then he came to him, and this is the challenge. The Lord appeared to him and told him, all right, now just offer your son. Go and kill him. Are you willing to give your best, your only begotten son, for the Lord when he's asking you to do that? He's a reality, not a murderer. He's a life giver, but he's taking you there because he has a new revelation for you. This is the revelation that, can you surrender all to Christ so the whole Christ will be for you? Or you want just to have Christ only when you need a car or you need money or you need a new house? Or when you need healing? Or you want him to manifest himself when you maybe pray for somebody who is possessed so demons could run away. It's not enough. Because either you have a Christ and a whole of Christ, I cannot imagine Christ without arms. It's impossible. Because Christ is a Christ. He's whole. And he can give you himself as he is. And this is the point when he comes to you and said, now, offer your son for me. And you know what happened, right? This is the surrender. This is the highest, you know. Then after that, you know who is Abraham for God. He's a friend, right? He can see God. It's no problem for him. It's normal. Hey, Yahweh, and the Yahweh is here. Call on the name of the Lord, and he's there. You call me, and I am here, right? That's what the Lord said. Are you calling on the name of the Lord every day? Are you calling him? Are you knocking literally on the gates of heaven? Because sometimes the gates of heaven are closed, not because he closed them, but because we caused that to happen. We have something that literally bothering God, and he doesn't want it. He cannot give you the next revelation if you don't keep everything according to his, you know, rules. Is he the king of your life? Oh, three people. And the rest? Amen. Because if he is the king of your life, then you have to surrender everything to him. Then he can give you everything. If you don't want to, if you want to try to, we say, dance on two ropes, you know, trust me, you'll fall down and break not only your legs but also your neck. But he would let you be alive for a while, you know, only with head. So he try maybe to reach out to you so you can at least say, well, Lord, now I cannot move, so I need you more. And then he can do the miracle and he can raise you up again, you know. But we have the house of the Lord, Bethel. It was just normal stones, but it is stairway to heaven. Like with Jacob, I said always, I always remember, you know, this Jacob who was wrestling with God, you know. He knew that he needs some blessing, you know. But he was very happy to be there where the stones are. He was very happy to see angels ascending and descending. But he forgot something, that the Lord is there. He did not go up. Some preachers, you know, they said he felt not worthy to go to the Lord. Others said no, reality, because he could not walk, you know, after encountering God. So you can choose which one. But I believe that he was content that somehow the Lord blessed him and changed his name. And when the Lord is changing your name, and remember, only God can give you a new name. That's why we are called now, you know what, you know, children of God. One day we will be all called like the sons of God. The creation is waiting for this revelation, right? It's coming. Soon, soon. When you are revealed as a son of God, then something else will happen. But for now, let us come to this. The gates to heaven is open. But please try to always try to knock. Knocking on heaven's door means the Lord going to give you a new revelation. He will look down and say, well, how far? Or maybe he will be standing beside you and looking and see how far you are. I said, if the Holy Spirit appears now, do you think you are going to see him? Again, it's a challenge, you know. It's not me. The Spirit is asking me literally to challenge. Are you going to see the Spirit if he appears now? The answer, of course, no. Because he's Spirit. You cannot see him. But you can see what he can do. And right now, the Spirit is touching some hearts. It's letting people some thinking, oh, well, I did not think of that way. Yes, you need to think of it the other way. Because if you are connected to heaven, if you are you are literally the gates of heaven to earth, and through you, life could flow to anybody else on this earth. And the last challenge, and we are going to the last verse, I don't know, you know, we are normally in the eternal, but sometimes we have to think of the temporal, you know. The temporal is always chaining, you know. That's why I ask the Lord to come and take us home, you know. I always call and say, Lord, I think it's time, you know. And he says, you know, it's your time, you know, because we try to do it our way. But, you know, there is something good, you know. In the ways of God, when he's revealing things to us, revealing himself, then sometimes he works differently. Look, Jacob, he had this great encounter. And God appeared to him and he told him things that reminded him what he told his father and grandfather and so on. Did he have a grandfather? Nobody corrected me, right? Did he have a grandfather in Jacob? What is the name of his grandfather? Grandfather, you know, from Jacob, you know. His father, we know, is Abraham. And the grandfather? Was his father or his brother? No? Good. So, and then Jacob, he did something for me. It's very interesting because that's where we know that somebody is with God. He was not satisfied, and I don't want you to be satisfied what you receive today. That's not enough because the Lord has more. You don't be satisfied with only what this you receive today now. Because he did something amazing, and for me it's amazing. He was in the house of God, but he called the place, he built a new altar, and he called it El Beth El, the God of the house of God. Because you are nothing if you are only in the house of God without the God of the house of God. You need this God to be present. You need him to receive from him. You need him so he can give you a mission. You need him so he can let miracles and wonders happen in your life. You need him to try to understand this bread of life that he's giving you every day. And he's not giving you bread of life, you know, just so you could get, you know, bigger and bigger. No, no, no. He's giving you because he wants you to be his witness on earth. That's why you are called. Everybody should see Christ through you. It's not because of your clothes. You could be, you know, dressed like a beggar. But still, they will recognize the Christ in you. And I can tell you stories how Muslim they could recognize the Christ in us because we were joyful. I mean, how could I be joyful when I was carrying injured people and dead people? We were like the Red Cross in Iraq helping, you know, victims of Islamic terror. And they come and say, why are you smiling? You're joyful. Why? Literally like this. He speaks very angry, upset with me. And then I told him, one day I had the boldness to say that. I said, because of Jesus. What our prophet has said? No. He's not only a prophet. And this is when you start working on them and the Spirit changing their heart. So do people see Christ in you? Are you this, I love this song I said to all the pastor, this little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine? It's you know, it can shine only if you walk, if you go to the world. If you let the people see you, if you are just sitting here, you know, and dancing here, worshiping the Lord, it's wonderful. I worship the Lord, I praise him every day. For us, it's praising the Lord is normal. I love it, Pastor, what you did. That's how we worship the Lord. We just lay down on the ground like Abraham did. This is how the way they were worshiping the Lord. Not standing and just later they began doing that. Because the Spirit was kicking them like David. David was dancing like crazy. It's not because he wanted to, but because the Spirit wanted to. So, are you willing to call on this place, El Beth El, the Lord of the house, you know? And then when the Lord of the house is here, miracles and wonders are very normal. For me, if somebody tells me, a Christian said, I did not, you know, experience miracle for the last 5 years, I said, well, brother, just search your heart. You must have something. It does not mean... Don't let the Spirit remind you of your sins and mistakes and failures. Every one of us does. But the Holy Spirit comes always, and he wants to do sometimes simple things, very simple things, small things. You walk and see somebody there on the ground and say, bless him. Only that. And heaven is open there. I pray for him in the name of Jesus. I claim the souls of many Muslims that I have never seen. I just go and said, Lord, I claim his soul for you. We'll talk about that maybe on the third day. So how far we can go? We have those altars were built. You respond to the Lord. Then you try to do something your ways and he's knocking on your head. And then you separate yourself from the people around you. And then because you're getting the holiness of God slowly but surely in you, then you relocate, you separate yourself from even your past, your thing. I'm glad I love that song, you know. He just erased my history. He wrote a new history. I'm supposed to be, you know, a Muslim imam, and I am a preacher of Christ. Isn't this wonderful? This only God can do that. Rewriting your name, your history, you know that. And then the surrender, you have to surrender to the Lord everything. And surrender does not mean you know what we do? We surrender to the Lord only our failure and mistakes. No, surrender to Him also your victories. Try to do that, because sometimes we are very proud of our victories. Look, every victory that we have is because of Christ. Surrender to the Lord and let Him do something. And please call on the name of the Lord everywhere you go. I thank the Lord, and I want to pray. You know, I know time is running. I know that every one of us, he has some things to do. But my prayer is for you is this. And I'm asking the Lord, because He put it on my heart, to pray this way, you know. It's a prayer of open heaven. So, Lord, we call you Father, Lord. Father, because you fathered us through the spirit of your beloved Son, Lord. Lord, you saw Jesus Christ, you know, what he did. And you wanted many like him, Lord. So we are chosen. We thank you, Lord, that you are willing to literally keep your heaven open, even if sometimes we stumble and fall. Yes, Lord, we are feeding on your word, but sometimes we are nearly fed up of eating without garlic, as the Israelites said. They want to go back to slavery just to have garlic, Lord. Help us to literally surrender everything to you, starting with our victories. We thank you, Father, because you want to give everything. A reality, you have given us everything. And Lord, you always reminded me to tell people, the Lord have given you absolute authority. You are the one to decide about the world around you. You can claim souls for the Lord. You can pray for the lost. You can reach out for those who are possessed. So I ask you, please, Lord, touch your children, Lord. Remind them of this authority. Encourage them, Lord, so they could start practicing this. Authority means that every place we put our feet on is a holy ground. It is for Jesus Christ, because he paid the price. Authority means that when we see people oppressed by demonic power, Lord, so we just rebuke those evil spirits, and they must depart. Authority means, Lord, that when we see the sick, even from far away, we pray for them, and you, the healer, going to heal them, Lord, in your time, Lord, and for your glory. Authority, Lord, means that we are not afraid of anything, not even death. We are not afraid, Lord. Yes, Lord, authority means also call on the name and to proclaim the kingdom of the living Christ. Don't be afraid of anybody. Call on the name of the Lord and to proclaim, you know, his kingdom is not only there. When Jesus came here, the king was here, so he established his kingdom and we belong to him. He has given us authority that we can even, as he said, the enemy we can trade on him. He has no power. He cannot do anything. Because he was defeated once and for all. Once and for all. Why are we fearful? Why are we tearful? Why can't we be just the children of the living God? And go rejoicing in the Lord. Amen?
So I want to read to you what I actually, God gave me for tonight. And with Selman just kind of just sitting down, I know that he wants me to do this. I mean, I really know that he wants me to do this. And then I'd ask our ministers to be ready to minister. Because if it applies to you, as Selman said, you have to respond. You have to get out of your seat. You got to walk up here and you got to let one of our ministers minister to you. Because if you don't do it, you're just going to go home the same way you showed up. And I don't think anybody's in here that didn't come for something. And you gave us some things to think about. A lot of things to think about, at least for me, anyway.
that we don't want to come to the church, you know, as we are and just leave as we are.
No.
We have to come forward with you. You know, let somebody touch you. Let somebody pray for somebody.
And that's... Amen. And that's exactly what's going to happen right now. But I need to read you this first to tie it into what Selman just said. I paraphrased it, so if you're going to follow it, it's going to be a little bit difficult to follow, but it has the same meaning as the psalm. So I'm going to open up by paraphrasing the second psalm of the Bible, Psalm 2. Okay? So if you have Psalm 2, you'll get the gist of this, but I wrote it in my words, looking at the Greek and the Hebrew and bringing the meaning in which I could understand it in a better way. Okay, so this is not Greek and Hebrew. It's Scott Mills, okay? I'm just letting you know in advance. But it's what the psalm says. It says this: why are the nations in a state of commotion, violence, and disturbance? Why do the people of this world exhibit excessively high opinions of themselves? Their appearance, their abilities, and their wealth. They only flatter themselves. The leaders of the earth take their stand and counsel together against the Lord and his Christian followers in total rebellion. They don't want God telling them what to do and want nothing to do with Christians. But he who sits on his throne in heaven laughs. The Lord simply ridicules them. He will soon speak to them in his anger and terrify them in his fury. He has already placed his son Jesus in the position of King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He has given Jesus the authority to rule the earth in righteousness over every people, tongue, and tribe, and will manifest this to us in his own divine timing. He will possess the very ends of the earth, and every knee will bow to him as he breaks every form of rebellion like a dish shattered up on a floor. Now, therefore, you leaders of all nations, gain understanding and take warning. Get wise and worship the Lord. Now, with reverence, awe, and respect. As you delight in doing so, do so with the deepest of respect and holy fear. Give special homage, honor, and praise to Jesus, lest he become angry and you perish in the way. For his wrath will soon be aroused. How blessed are you. Now here's the ministry part, and I want you to hear this. How blessed are you who take refuge in him, coming to him to be sheltered. I'm going to repeat it. Coming to him to be sheltered from the danger of the trouble that lies ahead. I say amen to that psalm. I believe his offer of grace to us is worthy of not just our worship, but our willingness to get out of our seats and to recognize that we can't do life on our own. We have to be under the shelter of the Almighty. We have to be under the wings of the one who created us and know our place. And the only way that we're going to understand the awe and the reverence and the total submission and surrender that we have to have is to be willing to come up to what you just preached on tonight, to the altar, and kneel at a place that is holy, because it's holy ground, because it's God's ground. We've dedicated this building, and it's just a building. You're the church. But this is holy ground. And when you come to the altar, kneel and say, God, I want to be under your shelter. I don't want to be in charge anymore. I need your covering. That's what a shelter is. I need you to hold me right now. I need you to fix the things that are in my life right now. I need you to fix my family and my job and everything else in my life. I've done my best on my own. I've used doctors. I've used everything else. But I've not called on the name of the Lord and said, Lord, I need you at your altar, and I need you now. And I say that with passion because I'm going to be the first one kneeling here. And I got the ministry badge on, so you know what? I'm going to take that off for right now, okay? Because tonight I need it. I want his total control. I want the shelter of the Lord. I want His arms around me. And I don't care if I hear His voice. A lot of times we don't hear His voice. But I want to feel His touch. And let me tell you something. If you're saved in here and you're on the ministry team, I know the Holy Spirit lives in you. You have His touch. He says He lives and moves and has His being in us. So the ministry team, be ready. I'm going to be the first one here. If you need the shelter of the Almighty, there's a big altar up here, and it'd hold every one of you if you really needed it. For those of you that have come here tonight and you just want a special touch from God and let someone just speak encouragement over you, come up to the altar in Jesus' name.